Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
If I'm concerned about me and my family and get ahead for me and I got to get this, then I'm going to walk over people. I'm going to be uncaring about people. I'm going to do whatever it takes to shield and whatever for my sake. But when I depend upon the Lord to lead me and the Lord to guard and the Lord to protect and the Lord to provide for me, then that frees me to care about other people. And that is what we should do as Christians. Care about other people.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy continues his teaching through the Gospel of Matthew, emphasizing the importance of loving others because God first loved us. How do you treat others? Do you look down on them? Do you use people or take advantage of them? Your attitude and heart toward others should change as a Christian. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, A Few Faith Facts.
It's taken them to a place where they would finally seek Him with all their heart. They had not been seeking Him. They'd just been running on, we're God's people. Ah, we're doing the things the right way. Hey, we got the law. We're doing well. And they lost the heart to seek Him. So many times they cried out. The time of the Exodus, they cried out, deliver us. He said, all right, I'm showing up. I've heard the cry of my people. God wants us to seek Him for direction. He wants to lead us in every detail of our lives if we'll listen and be willing to wait patiently. God's not in a hurry. And then knock. Knock and it will be opened to you. The idea is this. Knock. Ask for permission. When you knock, you're not just busting through. You're requesting entrance. You're asking for permission. My children, we're trying to teach them not just to bust through on mom and dad's room. That's our room. We're teaching them that, you know, there are spaces that they don't just have free access to. They need to understand. The bathroom, we put locks on those, right? We know there are places that there should be limited access. And so when we want to do things in life, we should commit ourselves and our way to the Lord. Ask Him. See, a lot of the time you'll find that, hey, He's fine with that. But there are times where He says no. He'll close doors. He says, no way. This is not what I want for you, or this will be a distraction for you. This will not be good for you. So He begins to close those doors and reroute us. Faith accepts yes or no. It's not easy to accept no or wait. But if you trust God, it becomes easier. And so we ask God, instead of just thinking we got to figure it out, we're human. We're prone to stray. We're prone to error. We're prone to opinion. And we need to always go before our Father. What kind of Father do you think He is? He's a good one. He loves you. Would He treat you bad? Would He not give you what you need? That's what Jesus is saying here. You, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, don't you? Well, how much more your Heavenly Father? Don't be afraid to ask Him. Don't be afraid to be limited or restricted by Him. Don't be afraid if He says no. It's okay, because He has your best interest at heart. Instead, enjoy when the times that He says yes and gives you what you need, because then you know it's God. And enjoy those things. Whenever I used to go to my dad, well, actually, nobody wanted to go to my dad. No one in my house, no one in my neighborhood. My dad was just you knew it was no, and it was an angry no, kind of like, why are you asking me? Do you want me to beat you? You know, like, so when we didn't go to my dad, although later God transformed this hard man from a guy who hated kids, basically, to a man, the kids loved him. Some of you know because he served in this church. I would have never imagined my dad being a Christian, serving alongside me, as stale as our relationship was. But when God transformed his heart, I mean, kids loved him. Some of you know he was I can't believe kids never loved him. He was so transformed. That's the work of God in life. And so God does those works. And we need to have the faith to trust him to do those works in our heart and in other people's hearts. And so he says in verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. If you and I will go to our Father and trust him to take care of us, you know what that frees me to do? Take care of other people. If I'm concerned about me and my family and get ahead for me and I got to get this, then I'm going to walk over people. I'm going to be uncaring about people. I'm going to do whatever it takes to shield and whatever for my sake. But when I depend upon the Lord to lead me and the Lord to guard and the Lord to protect and the Lord to provide for me, then that frees me to care about other people. And that is what we should do as Christians. Care about other people. Do unto others. It's the golden rule. Do unto others, or whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Your attitude toward others as your faith grows will change. You'll have a different heart for other people because love begins to rule in your heart. As you receive and begin to understand his love and forgiveness of your sins and your imperfections, you will be able to turn and do the same thing. You'll be able to love and embrace and help people up in this world where so many people are fallen. If you don't want to be around fallen people, beg God to rapture you now, because that's all that's around. And they need help. They need a light that leads them. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up a tree just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus, as he's walking by, says, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to your house. And so Zacchaeus was thrilled to death. There's no more intimate act than to fellowship over food with someone. And now he wants to come to his house. And so in the course of serving and being there and knowing that Jesus had come to his home, Zacchaeus just exploded with such joy and such a sense of maybe forgiveness because he came to his house, opening up that door and saying, I will commune with you. That he says, whatever I have stolen from anyone, being a tax collector, you know, stealing from all sorts of people, whatever I have taken or taken unjustly from anyone, I will restore fourfold, and I'm going to give half my stuff to the poor. Jesus said, salvation has surely come to this house. There was a change in the way Zacchaeus began to see himself and treat others because of the presence of Jesus in his home. Whenever Jesus is in our home, whenever Jesus is in our life, we do have a different attitude toward others. We also have a different attitude toward the things that are important to God. You cannot be around him without taking on some of his qualities. The things that are important to him becoming important to you. The two greatest things, everything comes from these two things, purity and righteousness, become very important to us. Some don't even know what purity and righteousness are. But the scriptures teach us, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And then all these things, everything that you need will be added. Everything you need, I'll do that. You seek these things. I don't know what purity and righteousness are. Seek them. Find out what they are. The health of your life, the health of your family, how you're able to interpret his word without some kind of filter that keeps confusing it, depends upon purity in your heart, purity in your life and your walk. We all know, I think, that when you get into a wrong relationship, boys, girls, guys, girls, that your filter gets distorted. Once you become emotionally attached to someone or something, you can see the bad things, but you overlook them. You're attached. But there's some good in there. Yeah, but 95% of it's bad. Yeah, but that 5%, maybe God wants me to... You get confused. It's very confusing. So we need purity and righteousness to reign in our own hearts and lives that we can rightly interpret, rightly walk, rightly hear. Because we get a little confused when we have this filth filter. Nancy Lee DeMoss said, "It's possible to have blameless actions without a holy heart." In other words, you can be a very moral person, very great servant. You can do all these great things. So it is possible to have a blameless actions without a holy heart, but it is not possible to have a holy heart without blameless actions. You can't have God working on the inside and not begin to see it on the outside. It just cannot happen. And he says, this is the law and the prophets. Basically, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus was asked a question. What is the greatest command? What is the great command, Lord? He said, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the great command. But, and he continued, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In these is summed all the law and the prophets. In other words, if you love God, you will love others. And you don't need a law then. I mean, everything that I've been teaching you is about that. And so, our attitude toward others should change. Our hearts should change. How do you treat others? Do you look down on others? Do you think highly of yourself when you're around other people, other certain people types? Do you use people? You take advantage of them? Do you see people as in the way? I need to get here and this person's in the way or that person's in the way. They're never in the way. Perhaps God has put some roadblocks, some governors in your life to keep you out of places, closed doors maybe. Or do you see people as those for whom Christ died and He loves, cares about? Now, you can say, well, I just don't agree with certain things. I know I see it in the Scripture, but I don't agree with the interpretations. And that's, I've heard that said to me when I didn't even interpret it. You just read it. I read it. I mean, that's what it says. You don't have to interpret that. It's pretty clear. Yeah, but today's culture, and they try to shift everything into today's culture. No, it means the same thing. We just have to interpret it in light of today's culture, but not adjust it for today's culture. And there's a big difference. And Jesus knew that people said those things. I don't know if it means that. I don't know about this. And so that's why we read the next part right here. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. The narrow gate. We all know what the narrow gate is. Jesus, He's the way. I remember reading the book Pilgrim's Progress. And it's a great Christian classic. It's a long read, but the men of old, the old saints, the great men of God, the Martin Luther's, many of them carried this with them as like the Bible and this book as transforming their lives. Very good book. They have one in modern English in case you can't do the old English, but there were two characters, formalist and hypocrisy. And the guy, the main character's name is Christian. And Christian was in the town, I forget the name of the town, but he entered the gate, so he was in the kingdom, but he was on his way to the celestial city. That was his ultimate goal, to go there. And on the way, as he's gone through the gate, he runs across these two characters, hypocrisy and formalist. And he's talking to them, and he says, how are you guys doing? Oh, we're doing good. And he says, did you come through that way? He said, yeah, I came back from that way. He said, how did you guys get in here? Well, we climbed over the wall. Over the wall? But don't you know you're supposed to come in that way? And they said to him basically, hey, what's the difference? You're here. We're here at the same time. Look, same result. Doesn't matter. And Christian said something very profound. He said, the difference is I walk by the way of my master. I walk according to his way, and you've come in by your own way, and that's the way of the thief and the robber. Now, John Bunyan didn't come up with that. That was an idea from the scriptures. Because Jesus said in John 10:1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. See, Jesus' blood covers sin. There is no other way into the kingdom of heaven. There's no other way to be cleansed or made pure. We must come to him as Lord and Savior. From the very beginning, this idea of sacrifice and blood atonement for sin has been around. Adam and Eve in the garden tried to cover themselves with leaves, something from nature, something from the culture. And God said that wasn't good enough. And so it says they covered them with skins of an animal. That meant that there was an animal. And an animal gave its life for the sake of those skins that there might be covering for their sin. Then at the Passover, the very first Passover at the Exodus, God was going to kill all the firstborn unless he saw the blood of that lamb, that spotless lamb, applied to the homes. Then he would pass over based upon the blood. Didn't even matter if it was Egyptian or Jewish. It depended upon the blood. And so there was sacrifice at the tabernacle, year after year after year, every year. A sacrifice was made. Blood was shed. An innocent animal died as a sacrifice. And then there's the ultimate Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. I don't make that analogy or that comparison. John the Baptist did that for us. When Jesus came to be baptized, and as he approached, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There is only one way to our Father. It is through Jesus. It's not through Christianity. Christianity is what it is, genuine Christianity, because we follow Christ. That's what the name means. We follow Christ. But to just be a Christian doesn't save you. To do Christian exercises, to belong to a Christian church, does not save you. We must follow Christ. And he leads us to a holy God. He is a holy God. So as we follow him, we become more like him. I've compared in the past, God doesn't hate people. He loves people. He died for them. Every person. So we should too. But the reason that sinners will not be able to stand in the presence of God and will be cast out and into that eternal darkness, that fire that burns without end, place that many refer to as hell, is because sin cannot be in the presence of God. And with unrepentance and with uncovered sin, you cannot stand. You can have the best heart in the world, but if that heart is not converted and you're covered by the blood of Christ, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It is a narrow way. Like that snowflake that falls down and dissolves in your hand. I could want that snowflake. I could want to keep it. I could want it to survive, but it will not because of my hand and the temperature of that snowflake. It dissolves. Sin will do the same thing in the pure holiness of God. It can't stand. So it must be atoned for and covered. And he says, difficult is the way which leads to life. Grace is free. But the price has been paid, but that doesn't mean that the life of faith is easy. Jesus paid, surely. You say, yeah, but he did all the work. I don't have to do anything now. Grace, 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 grace. No, 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 no. Grace is received by faith. Faith is evidenced by a response which leads to action, and that action is a response to the Holy Spirit leading you, because really we're lost unless God is leading us, unless we have his word to lead us. We're lost. So why is it a difficult way? Well, it's not easy to go against the grain of the society. It's hard. They think you're weird. They mock you. They say you're narrow. Narrow is the way. All you do, you know. It's not easy to let go of the things of this world. You know that, right? The things that God begins to put His finger on, the things that are making you more worldly, and He says, hey, I want you to let go of. The things that make you less available for Him, they take your time and your attention and your heart. He says, let go of these things, and it hurts. Everything hurts. It's not easy. It's difficult. We do those things to become a holy vessel, set apart, separate, useful for our Master. And then, if that weren't enough, trials still come our way. They pour the trials on the world. I'm following you, Lord. I mean, it's difficult enough going against the world, but trials too? Wow. Yes. But did you know the trials? It's the trials that prove our faith. The genuineness of our faith. Yeah. When everything's going well, everyone has faith. Everyone can talk. Well, just trust the Lord. Like He provides for me. God will take care of you. But then when everything's removed from you, what happens? But listen to what Peter writes. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So you need them too. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. I'm reminded of Job, who was tested. Everything was taken. His family was taken. And he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust. Even his own wife said, I'm sick of this. Curse God and die. That's so encouraging, honey. I picked the right wife. And yet Job trusted God. He wasn't shaken. God knew his faith. That's why God allowed. He said, you can't touch his life, but check him out. Because this is a man who does have faith. Because Satan was thinking, well, it's only because he's blessed. Everything's going so well in his life that he even praises you. Oh, yeah? Check him. Now, I don't really want God to do that in my life. I said, you know, Job is already a written example for us, Lord. We don't need any more. But we do need tests. We all need them. See, that's genuine faith. And the Scripture just tells us, Jesus tells us, few are there that find it. One final important faith fact. It's faith that saves you. You're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of you should boast. It is a faith that moves you, that saves you. A saving faith will move you in a few ways. We just talked about them, but in summary, one, it will create a dependence upon the Lord. Prayer, if you're growing in faith, prayer will become more important to you. It's a sign. Two, your actions and your attitudes toward others will begin to change. You'll see them differently. If you're growing in faith, that will happen. And three, submission to His Word. You will believe God, and that'll be enough for you as you increase in faith. Do you have saving faith? Paul Mutzbauer says, a faith that doesn't change your heart can't save your soul. It's true. Do you have that kind of faith?
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church, then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. Then I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.